It was the 19th century equivalent of the moon landing, an event that became an instant national media story. We're talking about the driving of the Golden Spike in the territory of Utah that connected the Union Pacific and Central Pacific to create the Transcontinental Railroad. Jeff London reports that tomorrow marks the event's 150th anniversary, and it's being celebrated all along the route.
It was the midst of the Civil War, which divided the nation north and south, and the President and Congress were also looking from east to west, says Patricia LeBounty, curator for the Union Pacific Museum in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
The 1862 legislation signed by Abraham Lincoln was really aspirational in tone, in a time in the Civil War that things were looking fairly bleak for the North.
It was to be a feat of engineering, the longest rail line ever built anywhere at the time. The Union Pacific was created by Congress to build from the east, but men were needed for the war effort, so Irish immigrants were brought in. The Central Pacific, which was already operating from California, would build from the west, and faced a different problem.
Because of the gold rush. They would hire plenty of people in San Francisco, get them up into the mountains, and they would run away to hunt for gold.
So the company also hired immigrants.
The majority of the labor force for the Central Pacific Railroad was Chinese.
Jason Ma has written a musical called Gold Mountain, which is being given concert performances in Salt Lake City and Ogden, Utah.
We down the trees, we wrench our knees.
We blast the rock, we can barely walk.
Ma says these immigrants from southern China had to blast through the Sierra Nevada mountains.
They used black powder. They experimented with nitroglycerin, but it was so unstable that it just resulted in too many deaths.
They must have made promise to their families to reunite with them somehow in America or back in China. And many of them didn't.
Chinese-born composer Zhou Tian has written a new orchestral work for the anniversary. The composer traveled the route doing research and talking to people along the way. He got ideas from a student in Salt Lake City.
She said flat melodies to symbolize the plains and deserts, and jagged melodies to symbolize the Sierra Nevada and Rocky Mountain ranges. And I was like, that's good. That's coming from a fourth grader?
The piece will be performed by several orchestras along the route, including the Utah Symphony. It was co-commissioned by the Reno Philharmonic. And conductor Laura Jackson says they originally thought of it as a celebration.
And I'm thinking, what have I done? I've asked a Chinese-American composer to compose a piece commemorating this history that just annihilated so many people that share his heritage. And I just turned to him and I said, we are not just celebrating, we are commemorating.
And not just the Chinese, the Irish workers, the Native Americans. There are no reliable estimates for how many of them died or were displaced resisting the incursion into their lands.
I always ask the question, where are the women?
Librettist Rachel Peters says in most histories of the Transcontinental Railroad, they were prostitutes. She and composer Lisa Despain try to correct that misperception in a short opera written for Utah Opera. They found a number of women who contributed, including one who registered 27 patents.
Her name is Eliza Murphy, and in addition to being an inventor, she was also a physician. One of her most famous patents was for axle grease, which doesn't seem all that entertaining. But we're making it sing.
I'm the engineer's eyes and ears, signaling effortlessly. Like a traffic cop, start and stop, passengers fate lies with me.
Every community from coast to coast was awaiting news of the project's completion. The Transcontinental Telegraph transmitted that news once the Golden Spike was hammered in place. The telegraph operator on site at remote Promontory Summit in Utah then typed one word in Morse code.
D-O-N-E, exclamation point.
Composer Zhou Tian demonstrates on his phone.
I actually used it in the piece, and that became the very last movement.
the line that was finished on May 10th, 1869, is still in use today, says historian Patricia Labounty.
What's cool to me is that the first shipment on the Transcontinental Railroad from the West to the East was tea from Japan. So this wasn't just linking economic centers within our own country east to west, but this was linking people in our country to the world.
The Transcontinental Railroad transformed the country for better and for worse, and its legacy is being remembered on the 150th anniversary of its completion all along its route. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London.